Well, guys, it's with nervousness and excitement that we head back to Liberia. Such an honour to go to your country. Can't wait to get there. Since I was last there, we've now got 2 schools and 5 churches, so that's pretty exciting. So such an honour to be a part of the Liberian community in West Africa. We're also going to Ghana to start some connections or extend some connections there, so that's quite exciting about some churches that want to come in to from Ghana into the C3 movement. And Pastor Nigel and I will then be heading off on some forced leave by our overseer. And, you know, I want you to think of me because we've had a flight change. And so what's happened is that we have to basically get off the plane in Ghana and run through the airport with 1 hour turnaround now. It was a 3 hour, you know, 3 hour layover. Now we've got a 1 hour layover. So the men of the team made the management decision that we would only take hand luggage. So I've got a bag about this big and I will be away for 8 weeks and going through 8 countries with hand luggage. So there will be no photos of me on Facebook. None. It'll be your homeless pastors. No, it's not happening. So I can do it. I can do it. I've decided I can do it for Jesus and he's going to bless me and... I'm ending in Malaysia for a conference, so watch out, KL. I'm going to hit the shops. No, just kidding. Guys.
I'm sure you will.
Just kidding.
Before KL.
You know, I would just love right now our staff to stand. Charlie, Catherine, Jess, Helen, Steve, Claire. Who else have I forgotten? I'm forgetting. Sorry, I'm doing this right off the cuff. Who else is on our staff? We've got Danielle's not here. We've also got Paye's not here. Deb, you'll stand up. And I just, where's our board? Louis, Renska, Greg, you are going to be in such great hands. Have I forgotten anyone? Did I forget any other staff member? Sheila, of course, sweetheart. Anyone else I've forgotten? I just want you guys to look around and think that, you know, if we didn't come back, you'd be okay. Helen, God bless you. So just look around and you've got this amazing team of people that are going to be looking after you while Pastor Nigel and I are away. Just put your hands together. They work tirelessly for you. And, guys, you can just take a seat. Our board are in that as well and we just want to say that. But, guys, I just want to say that, you know, I just don't want to go. I just love you guys so much. Such a privilege to pastor you and our prayer has been these past few weeks that while we are gone, I just want to come back and see you standing a little bit taller, your relationship with God a little bit deeper. And I just know, I'm just always so proud of you. I just talk you up wherever I go in the world. I say you're the best church in the world. You're the best looking people in the world. You're the smartest. You're just awesome. And our prayer is that by the time we get back, that you've just been that salt and light to the world. You just loved your world and your community, your business place, your school. And we're so proud of you, so privileged to pastor you. And I'm just going to miss you. So I'm getting off right now. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. Thanks, James. All right. So, Tuesday night we go to Liberia quite late, about 10 o'clock at night. The plane leaves. It's about a 36-hour, someone was asking me last night, it's about 36 hours to get to, we lose 8 hours because of the time differences. And we arrive in Monrovia, and we're there for nearly 2 weeks. And Andrew and I leave the boys in Ghana to talk to Joseph Aday, one of the pastors that's been in contact with me for about 5 years, who's still keen on C3, so that's exciting. And and then Andrew and I go to England I think it's the 4th of October to England to enjoy about a 5-week break before we go back. Thank you, boss. That's great. end up back at the KL conference, which is a 2020 vision conference in November, for the C3 movement. All the senior ministers have been asked to go to that conference, so we decided we'd do a holiday in between, head up to KL before we come home. And anyway, turn to your neighbour and say, I'm glad I came to church today. Ed, if we close that door, fantastic. Thanks, mate. You know, I I don't know if you intended it, but Caroline, just thank you for having a full team today. It was nice to leave on a good note, you know, when you're going away. It's lovely. Just really enjoyed it. And who's enjoyed, you know, I talked about marriage and sex the first week. I'm going to enjoy that, I can assure you. Anyway, marriage and sex. And then Andrea, very gracious and loving message on same-sex marriage last week. And this morning I've got a treat for you. No grace, no marriage. Say it with me. No grace, no marriage. Wes and the young people, they don't want to hear about this. Well, they probably do. They missed out the week before, I know. A couple of weeks ago, they wished they could have been in. When we were talking about... Anyway, let's not go there. For the sake of me putting my foot in it. So, no grace, no marriage. And so, it says here, you know, there's a scripture in the Bible, in Ephesians 5, and I've used it as a bit of a... I think it's one of the key scriptures for marriage. It says in Ephesians 5 and verse 22, wives, submit to your husbands. And all the men said... Now, please don't take this out of context. I'm just warming up to the subject, okay? Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. That should say something right there. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is Saviour. But there's more. Husbands, love your... Husbands, love your... Just as, I love this part, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Christ gave himself up for? How much should we love our wife? How much should we love our wife? We should be prepared to die for her if necessary. And on the side note, how much does Christ love the church? An awful lot. Yes? Is Christ in you? How much should we as individuals love the church? Just thought I'd leave you that deep thought there for a moment. And so today I will be speaking on the issue of how foundations of any good relationship are based in Christ and his church. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of his church, his body, of which he is Saviour. How much does Christ love the church? One more time. An awful lot. It's so much. And I think what we've got to do here is in our thinking, understand that point straight off, of how much Christ gave up for you and for me. And so, I want to give you a couple of illustrations this morning, and we're going to get into this this message. Andrew and I were out at a shop about a year ago, and the shop assistant looked at Andrew and I, and I don't know how, but we must have been buying something, and I rarely go to the shop, so it was kind of like, that's why I remember this illustration. And he looked at us, and he goes, there's no way you've been married 27 years. Now, we've been married 28 now. Well, soon, next month. Will we make it? And he goes, this is the part I really liked. You're far too young to be married that long. You've been married how long? And he couldn't get over the fact that we had been married for 27 years. And it was actually older than he looked. and he's sort of just shaking his head, and he couldn't let it go. And I want to say this morning that marriage is for the doing of God and for the display of God. Marriage is for the doing of God and for the display of God. And the most foundational thing you can say about marriage is that it is the doing of God. And when the going gets tough, it may well be that it is God who gets you through. And so I love a quote from William Shakespeare. He says this, "God, the best maker of all marriages, combine your hearts in one." And it would be true that Andrew and I have had many moments in our life that we have now chosen to forget. And I'm sure if you've been married for any length of time, past probably a few weeks, you would say the same. And there have been many misdemeanors on my part. And I probably bring out a couple of those because we're talking about grace. And the good news is this, the most painful, the most wondrous and wonderful. It's kind of like that mystery I was talking about a few weeks ago. It's hard to understand marriage, but as long as you just keep going, it'll be okay. And so I want to talk today not just about marriage in the sense of relationship, that relationship, but I think what I'm going to say today also applies to any person in any relationship. And so there's going to be principles this morning that are going to help us do life well. So number one, I want to talk about today's thinking on marriage. Today's thinking on marriage. And today the perception of marriage is a key factor. Comedian Chris Rock says, "Do you want to be single and lonely or married and bored?" Today's thinking. If your desire is for a spouse this is actually come from some psychologists. I'll read it to you. If your desire is for a spouse who will not demand a lot of change from you, then you are looking for a spouse who is almost completely pulled together. Someone very low maintenance, without much in the way of personal problems. You are looking for someone who will not require or demand significant change. You are searching, therefore, for an ideal person. Someone who is happy, healthy, interesting, content with life all the time. Never before in history has there been a society filled with people so idealistic in what they are seeking in a spouse. Duke University ethics professor Stanley Hallworth wrote a paper titled Sex and Politics. Some of it was a really interesting read. In it, he has made this famous point. Destructive to marriage is the self-fulfillment ethic that assumes marriage and the family are primarily institutions of personal fulfillment necessary for us to become whole and happy. The assumption is that there is someone just right for us to marry, and that if we look closely enough, we will find the right person. This moral assumption overlooks a crucial aspect to marriage. It fails to appreciate the fact that we always marry the wrong person. We never know whom we marry, we just think we do. Or even if we first marry the right person, just give it a while and he or she will change. For marriage, being the enormous thing it is, means we are not the same person after we have entered it. The primary problem is learning how to love and care for the stranger to whom you find yourself married. How true is that, married people? And so Andrea has had to put up with some of my misdemeanors. I hate mess. Staff, please learn this. If I come back to mess, I'm probably going to throw it in the rubbish bin. I actually had seen this box up in our old residence in South Fremantle where we used to live, and I thought, oh, I've had enough of seeing that there. I'm going to throw it in the rubbish bin. And so I took the box with Andrea's wedding dress and threw it in the rubbish bin. So I didn't think it was such a big deal at the time. But obviously, to a woman, it is. To me, it was like junk. Today, we stay connected to people only as long as they are meeting our particular needs and at an acceptable cost to us. And when we cease to make a profit, that is, when the relationship appears to require more love and affirmation from us than we are getting back, then we cut our losses and drop the relationship. That's today's thinking. And this has been called commodification, a process by which social relationships are reduced to an economic exchange relationship, so the very idea of covenant is disappearing in our culture. This is a serious issue. And sociologists argue that in contemporary Western society, the marketplace has become so dominant that the consumer model increasingly characterizes most relationships that historically were covenantal, including marriage. And so I want to ask this morning, what will make a marriage work? And as Christians, put your hands up if you know Christ this morning, however little or much. We know Christ this morning. And so as Christians, we pattern our lives around Christ and what he has done for us, not what the world expects or the culture of the day. And so, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. And Paul is not speaking philosophy in general is wrong here, by the way. He is saying that something that contradicts the gospel, we need to be careful of. And so he also talks about the traditions of men in this passage. It means that the origins are from men. But the truth is that the gospel message has its origins in God. You go to Galatians 1:11 if you want to look that up. According to the basic principles of the world, Paul is not knocking the general principles of the world, just those that are negative to the gospel. What has transformed our life as a Christian person? It's the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's through Christ that we're going to actually build greater relationships because he has done it all on our behalf. And so this is what I'm going to flow through this theme this morning. And much of today's thinking is against the gospel. It's against the Christian value. And it's probably why that there is so much sexual abuse in our world today. And so what will make a marriage work will be in stark contrast to the world view. It is no different to a way a Christian handles their money. It is in stark contrast to the traditions of men. And so a disciple of Christ is prepared to go without something or give up something for the benefit of the kingdom of God, for the benefit of those they are in relationship with. But this is in stark contrast to the world view. So I want to give you a few benefits of a long-term marriage. This is a true statistic taken by, actually, Timothy Keller has produced a book on the meaning of marriage. It's a great book if anyone would like to purchase it, The Meaning of Marriage by Timothy Keller. This was only printed in the last year or so. 75% more wealth at retirement than unmarried people or divorced people if you stay married. Who thinks that's a good reason to get married? 75% more wealth. That was from the Surprising Economic Benefits of Marriage booklet produced. 2/3 of unhappy marriages will become happy within 5 years if they stay married and do not get divorced. That's from Does Divorce Make People Happy? American Values Institute 2002. One of the earliest hymns that the church sang to Jesus was that he emptied himself and became a servant, from Philippians 2. And I want to read this with you this morning. Your attitude should be the same that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not demand and cling to his rights as God. He made himself nothing. He took the humble position of a slave and appeared in human form. And in human form, he obediently humbled himself even further by dying a criminal's death on a cross. Because of this, God raised him up to the heights of heaven and gave him a name that is above every other name. So that as the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's Philippians 2. 5 to 11. You know, Jesus shed his divine privileges without becoming any less divine. And he took on the most submissive role, that of a servant who dies in his master's service. And in this passage we can see taught both the essential equality of the first and second persons of the Godhead. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but their authority, their equality is the same. There is a voluntary submission of the Son to the Father to secure our salvation. Jesus' willing acceptance of this role was wholly voluntary, a gift to his Father. My submission in marriage is a gift I offer, not a duty coerced. And one of the pillars of wise counseling is this statement: the only person over whom you have control is yourself. You can change no one else's behavior but your own. If you think going into a marriage that you can change the other person, you've got it completely wrong. I'm just putting it out there. How true is that? Andrea's been trying to change me for all 28 years. She's still trying. Just this morning, we were trying. And on this rare occasion, she submitted to my will. I won one. Anyway, that's enough details. If a man or a woman wishes to bring him or himself more fully into the biblical defined gender role, it does not actually require assent from the other person. Both the headship role of a husband and the submission role as a wife are servant roles. We can always begin to serve without waiting for permission. And so often, this will be the invisible change of attitude before it becomes a visible in action. My attitude many years ago, when my children were young, is different to what it is now, to some degree. So I have changed a little bit. And my wife had to go away. I can't remember where. For a few days, I think she was speaking somewhere else. And I had my own business at the time. The church was only very young and not doing so well. And I had one of the children was in daycare, so they're quite young. And the other, I think, was just year one or two. And my wife gave me very clear instructions for the time that she'd be away, about 4 days. And back in those days, I was fairly laissez-faire about listening. That means that I was really only half listening at best. What could go wrong? One hyperactive young, you know, and then the other person, you know, the boy in my life, well, he's at school. All I have to do is make them breakfast. I'm just thinking the first morning, right? So I've got to be at my work. I needed to start around 7. So I thought, no problem. We'll get them up at 6. Well, you know, in my head, I'm thinking, well, nappy. No, I'll leave that one till the childcare. I'm not touching that. And anyway, breakfast was a complete disaster the first morning. But that was just the start. The place was a mess, and I thought, I don't know when I'm going to clean this. How do they find time to clean up? I'm thinking to myself, these ladies. Anyway, so I've got to move along. So I managed to bail them into the car, and it's a ute with a 3-bench seat. So I just throw them in. Don't think about seatbelts. Just throw them in. We're already running late. I run around the other side, past my trailer with all my work gear in it, and jump in, start the car. By this stage, one of the children has gone over the top of her brother to try and get to me. And so I'm trying to push them back and put their seatbelts on. At the same time, I've forgotten that I've put the clutch in on the car, and the car's rolled backwards and taken the roller door, which is brand new, 2 weeks old, completely off its hinges, and now I'm in the garage with a broken door. It pays to listen to your wife. Andrea comes back from her trip. I'm exhausted. I need a holiday and some painkillers. It's only been 4 days. And guess what she said? I told you to listen to me. But at least the kids are all right. No, they're not. Look what they've done. 20-something years later, we are still together because Andrea doesn't go away anymore. After washing their feet, let's go back to Jesus. Okay. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right because it is true. And since I, the Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. How true is it that a servant is no greater than the master, nor are messengers more important than the one who sends them?" I've got to say this morning that Andrea learned how to wash my feet long before I learned how to wash hers. And that is the grace of marriage. The master has just made himself into a servant who has washed his disciples' feet. And he's demonstrating in the most dramatic way that authority and leadership mean that you become the servant, you die to self in order to love and to serve others. Turn to your neighbor and say, die to self today. Jesus redefined all authority as servant authority. Any exercise of power can only be done in service to the other. Not to please oneself. Marriage is a big deal, isn't it, when you think of it in that way? See, I thought I could load the ute, make the breakfast, get the kids to school. What I failed to realize is that in marriage, the two become one in the sight of God, not two singles coming together for their own pleasure. And Jesus is the one who did not come to be served as the world's authority figures expect to be, but to serve to the point of giving his life. Both men and women get to play the Jesus role in marriage. Sacrificial authority and sacrificial submission. And so, marriage showcases his grace. What does marriage showcase? His grace. Marriages are designed by God to be a unique display of God's covenant grace. Because unlike all other human relationships, the husband and wife are bound by covenant in the closest possible relationship for a lifetime. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all our sins. How many sins did he forgive? All of them. He cancelled the record that contained the charges against us. He took it and destroyed it by nailing it to the cross of Christ. God took the record of all your sins that made you a debtor to wrath. And instead of holding them up in your face and using them as a warrant to send you and I to hell, he put them in the palm of his son's hand and drove a nail through them into the cross. Whose sins were nailed to the cross? My sins, Andrea's sins, whatever relationship we are in, whatever friendship we are in, whose sins are nailed to the cross? Those persons, each other's sins. And so whose sins are punished on the cross? My sins, Andrea's sins. So when a young man is totally dumbfounded that we could be married for longer than he's been alive, it's not because we've had the perfect marriage. In actual fact, the truth is we haven't. We've driven each other to despair many times. But he's cancelled the record. He's cancelled the record. So when I threw out all the old family photo albums, I got into massive trouble. I think we might have even slept in separate beds for a night or two. But eventually Andrea forgave me. See, the amazing thing about our salvation is that that's a true story, by the way. I'm not playing around here. It's the grace of marriage. No grace, no marriage. I've got so many sins when it comes to marriage. But anyway, the amazing thing about our salvation is that he substitute my sin, my wife's sin on the cross. And when we receive Christ and believe in his name, we become the children of God. We view others through the eyes of Christ. Does that mean we can't get mad? What do you think? I think that's okay. I think you can be justified in some areas. But at the end of the day, there has to be some grace in our relationships. Amen? And so, Paul transitions his address from the Christian assembly to the household because it is these two social settings that most show the transformative power of the gospel. It says, Paul says this, "Since God chose you to be the holy people whom he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." He goes on, "You must make allowance for each other's faults and forgive the person who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others." Let the measure of God's grace to you in the cross of Christ be the measure of your grace to your spouse. Let the measure of God's grace to you in the cross of Christ be the measure of your grace to your spouse. We please the Lord when two people humble themselves and seek to change in godly ways that please our spouses and meet their physical and emotional needs. God gets the glory when two very different people and very imperfect people forge a life of faithfulness together. And amidst the adversity of this life, we do well because we rely on the Lord Jesus Christ and not just ourselves and what we want in any relationship. Greater than any problem in your marriage is the truth that God has cancelled the record of debt that stood against us. With those legal demands, he set them aside. He nailed them to the cross. Marriage is for the display of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, marriage is for the display of God. Can you see how important this is, considering the way the world thinks on this subject? How important is our relationship and the physical needs that we meet in this sense, the biblical definition of marriage? The covenant of marriage displays the covenant of Christ and his church. He died for it. It is an example of what can be accomplished in Christ when we die to ourselves, no matter the cost to us. So marriage showcases his grace. The measure of God's grace to you on the cross is the measure of God's grace to your spouse. And so salvation is outworked through our marriage on a daily basis. Amen? Those who are married? Yeah, all the time. So I want to ask you some questions this morning as we close this morning. Perhaps I can have the band come. What can you do today to help display God through your marriage? What can you die to? Leave behind, put aside that is not helpful to your relationship today. Our relationships, especially those that are close to us, should display God's glory. You can apply the same question to a friendship, to a sibling, to a family member. What can I die to, leave behind, put aside that is not helpful in my relationship? How can I show grace in my marriage, in a friendship or a family situation that is going to help showcase the grace shown to me by a God who gave up his life for you and for me? Why don't we stand to our feet this morning? I just want to pray. Lord, I thank you for your endless love. I thank you that you died on the cross for me with all my imperfections. And that two very different people that come together. Lord, it's a mystery in so many respects. It's a mystery the same as you love your church with all its imperfections. And we want to say today, and we want to declare that you are Lord. And Father, right here, right now, let every person in any kind of relationship or friendship value the grace that you have shown us. That we may, Lord, put aside some of the things that really aren't that important. That our marriages, that our relationships may flourish in Jesus' name. And it may be here today while we're standing here that you've never received Jesus as Lord of your life. God was prepared to give everything up for you. He was prepared to die on the cross and pay the penalty for all our sin. And all that really means is all our wrongdoing. From the moment we come out of the womb, we know how to say no. We know how to be defiant. Christ died for you. That's the love that he has shown every single person. And all he requires from us is that we acknowledge what the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, has done. The one who has given us breath has also supplied us with a savior. He was prepared to give up everything for the will of the Father, so that you and I could be set free and love Jesus all our life, be a part of his church, be his bride, so that we can spend eternity with him. And it may be today that you've never received Jesus as Lord of your life. I want to give you an opportunity to do that this morning. While we're standing here with our eyes closed here this today, I want to ask you, if you're away from Christ, will you come back today in a right relationship with him and allow his grace and his love to flood you again? Maybe you're not sure you're going to heaven today. You can be sure by praying a simple prayer with me in just a few moments and allow Jesus to come into your life. You know, God wants us to make a public demonstration of our love for him. He asks us to confess our sins. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's how we get free. We free ourselves by extending our hand toward the Lord Jesus Christ, who has shed his blood on the cross for you and me. So on the count of three, in just a moment, I want to ask you, will you receive Jesus as Lord of your life? If you've never received Jesus, you're backslidden, you're away from Christ today, or you're fearful that you may not be going to heaven, I want to ask you, on the count of three, to pop up your hand and I'll see it, and I'd love to pray with you to receive Jesus into your heart. Every head bowed and every eye closed now. You want to receive Jesus as Lord of your life or recommit your life. You're backslidden, you're away from God. Today, come back. Get back in a right relationship with him. You're not sure you're going to heaven. Today's the day. On the count of three, pop up your hand and I'll see it. And you can pop it down again. One, two, three. Thank you, I see your hand. Thank you. Is there anyone else this morning? Just say, yeah, that's me. Love to pray with that gentleman. Make that public confession. Just give it 20 more seconds. Is there anyone else this morning? Say, yeah, I'd love to receive Christ as Lord of my life. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Be sure today. And we're going to close our service in just a moment. May I pray of you, sir? What's your name?
Dan.
Hi, Dan. I'm Nigel.
Hi, Nigel.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you also.
Yeah, is this your first time here?
Yes, it is.
Fantastic. You come with Pastor Charlie.
Correct.
Let's pray this prayer together, shall we? You received Jesus as Lord of your life before?
No, I haven't.
You haven't?
No.
So, first time?
Not the first time, no, but...
They're pretty close to it.
Yes.
Come on, let's pray with Dan this morning. He receives Jesus as Lord of his life. And that the Holy Spirit transforms his world from this point forward. It's going to be a new day, Dan. Father, let's pray this prayer together, Dan. Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
I thank you that you love me.
I thank you that you love me.
I receive you.
I receive you.
I thank you my sins are forgiven.
I thank you for my sins are forgiven.
I start afresh.
I start afresh.
With you in my life.
With you in my life.
From today.
From this moment forward,
come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Lead me.
Lead me.
Thank you, Lord, for your love.
Thank you, Lord, for my love.
I receive you in Jesus' name.
I receive you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Father, we just pray for Dan, the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for new life to flow through Dan today, through the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. May his life flourish. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, you know Pastor Charlie, he's here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If anyone would like, just before the band sings, if anyone would like prayer for their relationships, whatever relationship it is, please don't feel too embarrassed. God will set you free. He's not a condemning God. He died on the cross. He loves us. So no matter what you think, God can help you today. He loves you. Let's go into the rest of today with grace in our hearts and love Jesus all our life. Amen. So if you want to keep prayer, I'm going to pray this morning. Anyone else wants to join our dear brother this morning, please come. We're going to sing this song as we close. Let's go, guys.